Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are delighted that you're tuning in with us. Scott, put the piano down.
Can't help it. Can't help myself. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. Remember, we'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/The Music Row Show. Chat alongside with us. We're online waiting to talk to y'all right now.
That's right. Now, you can also hit us up at Twitter, @The Music Row Show, and after the show, you can also find us at Instagram, @The Music Row Show also. Now, Scott, we've got a great hour lined up, so why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners who this fine gentleman is sitting with us tonight?
Absolutely. Just, okay, imagine writing some hit songs for George Jones, Mo Bandy,
yeah,
and Merle Haggard.
Sure.
That there is just, that's a career.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's not enough for tonight's guest. No. He kept going on with hits for George Strait, Keith Whitley, cuts for countless other hit artists.
So kind of a show-off, then.
He's a show-off. Yeah. An accomplished performer in his own right. He'll be joining Billy Yates and a passel of who's who in the country music, for the Countryest of the Country concert next month during the CMA Fest here in Nashville. He's a member of the Texas Songwriters Hall of Fame. He's a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame. It is a pleasure and an honor to say Whitey Schaefer. For goodness sakes, we've been on the air for 8 years. I can't believe we haven't had you on yet, but welcome to the Music Row Show. Yeah. We're glad you're here.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I'm going to move that mic a little closer to you. Wow. We want to hear you.
All right.
There we go.
I didn't know whether to whisper or holler.
Oh, you can holler. That's
you can
cool.
holler.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, back when you started writing, was making a career as a songwriter even a reality? Was that something that people aspired to? And what made you want to pursue that life?
Well, I kind of started out taking my guitar to the restroom with me every morning while I was using the pot.
Uh-huh.
And
is there a special guitar for that?
Progressed from there, you know. And I was born and raised in Texas, and my mom and dad had a Stamps quartet, you know, and
okay.
We were kind of a musical. I wasn't in a quartet because I was too little, you know.
But you had music around you all the time.
Oh, yeah. Since I was born, the whole family was musically inclined, and I didn't know I was.
Well, you were
wrote a hit for George Strait. And then I said, hey, I might be something too.
Hey.
But growing up, there wasn't the idea of I can make a career out of songwriting.
Oh, I never thought about songwriting.
Yeah.
Until later on in my life. Yeah, I mean, during World War II, when my dad was in the Navy, my mom used to practice me and my sister singing. We'd go up to the singing in courthouse in Hillsborough every Thursday night and have a singing up there. And then Mom would show off me and my sister. We were just little tights, but we loved it. You know, we dreaded going and griped about having to. When we got there, we was all right.
So
she was a good harmony person.
Oh, good. So with all that in mind, when you did finally decide to pursue songwriting, what was the family response like? Were they?
Oh, he didn't care what I did. As long as
I
got out of town.
They were happy you moved out.
Yeah, I had a buddy in high school, Shirley Jean Barnes, and me and him kind of grew up with a guitar in our hands, you know, dreaming that we'd do something. We didn't know what we'd do. But we wanted to do something, you know.
Sure.
Sing, and he was a good singer. And but anyway, I went from there to the Big D Jamboree, man. I thought I was big time. Met Johnny Paycheck there, who wasn't Johnny Paycheck then.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I mean, that's where he started from, kind of, I guess.
Wow.
So,
but anyway.
Is it true that you came to town with three songs written, played them for a publisher, demoed them, and then George Jones recorded two of them.
Right. That's the absolute truth.
Wow.
And getting back to your first statement, where exactly, what room in the house were those three songs written?
Bathroom, most of
I That's, should try that. I had never
I
thought of that before.
I took the guitar with me every morning before I went to work, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. That is one place I have not tried
well,
yet.
Well, it's also the one place your kids may not follow you
that
into the room.
You would be surprised.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But you know, here everybody says it's a 10-year town, and for you it was more of a 10-minute. You sat down and played him for Ray Baker.
That's right.
And he said, let's demo those right now.
That's right.
And next thing you know, you have two George Jones cuts.
Absolutely.
And were you thinking, this is a breeze?
Yeah, one of them was, I'm a new, I mean, he put it out under the name of Patterson or something. George Jones did.
Oh, okay.
Finally got the nerve to tell me you no longer want me hanging around. That's one of my first cuts when I come to town.
And that was before he started using the name George Jones?
No, he used the name George Jones, but under my songs, he Glenn Patterson.
He wasn't sure about those, so he went ahead and...
Interesting.
He was Chris Gaines before Chris Gaines was...
Glenn Patterson.
That's right.
That's interesting.
That's funny.
Man, so talk about the first time you heard, "If You Got the Money, Honey, I Got the Time."
Oh, I was in... I was having a Coke in the corner... Cozy Corner Cafe, and it played on the jukebox.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I don't know who that guy is. It was Lefty.
Uh-huh.
I said, I don't know who that guy is, but I like him, you know. And so I would wait for his songs to get on the charts around there. And then, I mean, I listened to the, I forget what the guy's name was. It had a show ever. Saturday night, 10:30 or something on KRA. I don't know what the station was in Dallas, you know, but I was tuned into it, you know, because he played the top 10. And,
right.
And usually Lefty was there, you know. But I was a big Lefty Frizzell fan.
That's
all the
wild.
Way till I went up, knocked on his front door one day.
Well, let's talk about that because, you know, that's we've heard that story, but I want to hear it from you that you...
Well, I moved to Nashville on somebody else's quarter because I didn't have no money. And I rented a house. I mean, the house I rented was about a block and a half from Lefty's. I mean, where Lefty's house was, you know.
But you didn't know that.
No. I didn't know nothing when I moved this town. I mean, really nothing.
Right.
And... I knew Doodle Owens, who's a great songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And Doodle helped me a lot. You know, he introduced me to Dallas Frazier and Ray Baker and all of them, you know, the music people that was around then. And I had three songs that I thought was pretty good. And I sang them to Ray Baker one day, and he loved them. And he got Jones to cut two of them. And the other one, I don't know what happened to it.
It's still available.
It may be.
So was it Doodle that said, you know, you live a block and a half from Lefty?
No, I kind of knew Doodle, you know,
mm-hmm.
from Waco. Because Doodle was kind of a personality down there before he ever moved to Nashville, you know.
Yeah.
We both kind of sang in the same honky-tonks, mm-hmm. you know. And he had the nerve to move up here, and so I kind of kept up with him. And Doodle helped me a lot when I come to town.
So how did you come to knock on Lefty's door? Were you just passing by one day, or?
I moved about a block and a half from him,
right?
But mm-hmm. I didn't know it for a while, you know. And
right.
And I found out where he lived. Me and Doodle, or something—I forget who I was riding around with. They said, "Old Lefty lives right there."
You're like, really?
I said, really? And I went down and knocked on Lefty's door. I mean, I signed with Ray Baker, and I did just done a demo with a song called You, Babe. I mean, Haggard cut it.
Yeah.
And
so you felt like you kind of, you could
Lefty
do that.
Cut it. But I wanted to play a song for Lefty. And
how'd he take it when he opened the door?
Well, he was about—he had a beer in one hand and a doorknob in the other. And I said, "Lefty, you don't know me. My name is Whitey Schaefer, and I live up the street. And I just did a demo last night, and I got some songs I'd like for you to listen to." Oh no, I said a song.
A song, yeah.
Yeah. He said, "Well, come on in, knucklehead. Let's listen to him."
All right.
So he came in and he listened to all of them. And next day he did a song called "You Babe," and another one. And I can't think what it was now.
But those were songs that you played him that day, and he cut them the next day.
But I mean, he already had the session booked.
Yeah.
Right.
I pulled up in the park. And he said, "You want to come to the session?" I said, "Sure." I pulled up in the parking lot, and there's rehearsing one of them. And I said, "Wait." I mean, that was just beyond my dreams, you know.
Yeah. Wow. How long prior to that were you in that listening to that song on the jukebox? Was that about a year before? Or?
I forget.
Okay.
It might have been a little bit longer than that because it took me a while to get up to Norwood and move up here.
But still, from that to being in the same recording studio, listening to him doing one of your songs, that must have been amazing.
Oh, yeah. When I pulled up in the parking lot, they were rehearsing it. It was down at Columbia.
Yeah.
And I think it was they got a big studio and a little studio. He was actually in the little studio, you know, which I got to record in later on.
Sweet.
Why do you think you two clicked as well as you did?
Well, we both like to drink beer, for one.
That's the basis of many a good friendship, I think.
It is, and I moved like a block and a half from him, and I didn't even know it for a long time. And then I was riding around with Dude Loins one day, and he was riding down the Sterling Court there, and he said, "Oh, Lefty lives right there."
Wow.
I said, "Really?"
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
That's crazy. And you got along because you both like beer.
Well, I think, didn't you end up writing about 10 songs with him or was it more than that?
Might have been about 11. I counted one day, you know. That's the way love goes.
Yeah.
Lucky Arms.
Yeah.
Lucky Arms, got the world in my arms.
That's a good one. So what was it like then, you know, one thing to be listening to him recording one of your songs, but then to be sitting there across from the writing table with him and actually writing a song with him? What was that like for you?
We'd already had a few beers together before we actually got into it.
Okay. Kind of greased the wheels a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I kind of trapped him. I started a song especially to entrap him to do a second verse to it. You know, I said, "I can get him." And started even writing with Lefty because I knew he was he could write dream verses, you know. He would think up stuff that you would never think of, you know. Like,
right.
"Hey, Mr. Rainy Skies, dry your eyes so you can see my." I don't know if that's the name of that song me and him wrote that he recorded. Lucky Arms, I guess, was it. Anyway.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about Lefty and Ray as well. You're listening to The Music Row Show. This segment brought to you by our friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs. We love these guys. They take great good care of our cars as we're both Toyota drivers.
Right.
And it's just a great experience to go spend time there either as a service or if you're actually looking for a car.
Plus, they got something I've never seen at other dealerships. They got not only a 3-day return policy, but they've got an unlimited time and miles on their warranties on new and used
vehicles.
That's
insane.
Which is just, I mean, how do they even do that? I don't know. But they're great guys. When you go there, ask for George. He's the owner. He'll take great care of you. Or you can visit him at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be back with more of Songwriters Hall of Fame songwriter Whitey Schaefer here on The Music Row Show. Oh, yeah.
But all my exes live in Texas.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with hit songwriter, Hall of Fame songwriter, Whitey Schaefer. And of course, that's one of his big hits, All My Exes Live in Texas, which was a big hit for George Strait. And I can't believe that that song came from personal experience, did it?
It's actually a true story. I changed the names to protect the guilty.
Okay. So there was no, who was it?
Eileen.
Eileen. Or
Abilene. Abilene.
Rosanna.
Or Dimples. Or yeah.
Dimples from Temple.
Dimples from Temple, yeah.
No, those are made up names.
I couldn't tell on the Dimples one, but.
Dimples, who now lives in Temple's, got the law looking for Whitey. Yeah.
So you say it was a true story, huh?
Well, not a true story, but...
inspired by...
All my exes do. Most of them live in Texas. I got one in Tennessee now.
Oh, boy.
Roaming around.
You're going to have to go back and rewrite the song now. Add
she's,
Tennessee in there, right?
Roaming around like she did before.
Well, I want to back up a little bit. Talk about your first publisher, Ray Baker. I've heard you say that he was just such a great song man. What made him that way? And what, you know, you were still a relatively new writer at the time. So what kind of things did you learn from him?
Well, he taught me a lot, mostly what not to say in a song.
Okay.
Like
you
what?
Know, I brought in some things that, that now I would say is goofy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, words. You know, he might not ought to say that, you know. I mean, it doesn't, you know.
He was a good editor. He could really
shave it. He could do that, and he knew a hit when he heard it. And plus, he worked for, he was Jim Reeves' manager for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd been in the business. I mean, he knew what he was doing. Plus, he had the number one songwriter in the nation working for him when I went to work for him, Dallas Frazier.
Oh, okay.
When he had two writers when I signed.
Man.
He didn't need them anymore because we put some stuff out there, man.
Wow. Well, if you can, and knowing that this is a family program, I would love to hear just one story from Doodle's house or the little house.
Doodle's house. It wasn't Doodle's house.
It was Lefty's house.
Yeah, it was Lefty's house.
The little house.
Lefty and Alice's house. They belonged to the other, but it was for Lefty to go live in while he was separated from Alice.
Oh, boy.
Every once in a while, he'd go back home. Every once in a while, Alice would stop by.
Mm-hmm.
Did you put the throwing...
But he had Alice a key made to the front door, you know, when he moved in to change the locks, and he had Alice a key made.
Okay.
And he took it out to the car to give it to her, and she throwed it out there in the yard.
Oh.
Me and him went out for 30 minutes trying to find that key. But anyway, that's when we went back in, had another beer and drank. She found the key you threw away, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, perfect. So it all worked out.
She found the key that you threw away. Yeah, me and Lefty was pretty good buddies, man.
That's awesome. Hmm. Now, of the songs that you guys wrote together, did he record them all, or did some of other folks record any of them?
Other folks, he recorded That's the Way Love Goes.
Right.
And, of course, Mo Bandy recorded Bandy the Rodeo Clown. Me and him wrote together.
Right, right.
And there's some more, sometimes I can't think of all that stuff.
Well, let's talk about That's the Way Love Goes, because that's one of my favorite Merle songs. And what amazes me, we were actually talking about this in the last hour, too, is that song only has 8 lines.
I know, and I had 3 of them to start with.
What...
Including most of the melody.
So how did you know it was done after? I mean, was there...
I knew it was done as soon as Lefty said, "That's the way love goes."
And that's it.
He said the title. And so that was 4 lines. So we just went back and repeated most of them in the chorus. And
there you go.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't any temptation to keep going and...
No, we were tired by then.
they'd run out of beer by then. So
we were out of beer, so
that was that.
So we tagged it and went on.
That's funny.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, you earned a lot of loyalty from several recording artists who just came back and recorded a lot of your songs. I think Mo Bandy himself recorded something like 33 of your songs. How did you go about earning that kind of relationship with
well,
writers and
to
loyalty?
Start with Ray Baker, and has signed Mo to a management contract.
Okay.
And
you were one of his writers.
I was writing for Ray.
Okay.
Dee dee dot dee dee do.
There you go.
That helps.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But
there's your loyalty right there.
But my songs were worthy of being recorded.
Absolutely.
Like Bandy the Rodeo Clown and what else? Who are we talking about recording?
Mo.
Yeah, Mo did a lot of my songs, including his first one. That me and Doodle wrote called "I Started Hating Cheating Songs Today."
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was his hit. I mean, that was his first hit.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the world has changed here in Nashville immensely, because back then there was more opportunities for one-on-one relationships between artists and writers back then.
Well, yeah.
I mean, who else used to hang out at the Little House? There was you, there was Doodle, there was Lefty.
Uh-oh.
They weren't all male, you know what I'm talking about?
I see.
Okay.
Erica, going back to that Family Show.
So why on earth would he have given her the key?
Yeah. Kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? Yeah.
Why
the locks.
Why would have thrown the key in the front yard in the grass for us to dig through and find, you know?
Oh, man.
They had a very stormy relationship. And I might have went through a couple of divorces myself while I was hanging out over there.
Man.
That would be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
How you doing over there, Katrina?
Yeah. She's our producer's blushing.
She's a piece of plywood up on. I mean, up on the wall. I mean, Lefty hung it up there, and I went in one day, and he's throwing a knife at it, man. I mean, he's sticking it every time too, man.
And this isn't a little knife. These are like.
Oh, it's hunting knives.
Big Tarzan knives.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, Tarzan knives.
Well, that's good.
And
was there a picture on the plywood or anything, or
underneath it? No more.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, he had to have the wall fixed.
Oh boy!
Oh, that's funny.
That's crazy.
We want to remind our listeners that Whitey's going to be taking part in the Countryest of the Country 2015 concert. It's featuring 20 classic performers, hosted by our pal Billy Yates. You're going to see T. Graham Brown, Jimmy Fortune, Jason Crabb, Daryl Singletary, Tia Goins, who was just on
the
show with us, Buddy Jewell, and, of course, Whitey Schaefer, and many, many more. And that is Tuesday, June 9th. So put that on your calendar. It's at the George
Dallas
Jones.
Frazier. You don't want to miss Dallas Frazier.
And Dallas Frazier.
And Dallas Frazier.
Singing Elvira.
Aha.
There you go. I want to talk about, just talking about the actual craft of writing songs, how hard is it to write simple, and how important is it to write simple?
It's important to write simple, and it's kind of hard. I mean, you just gotta bring yourself down to the level of people, you know, what people understand, you know. I mean, you can get too deep sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So deep that you don't even understand it.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, because we were actually talking in the last hour about how difficult it is to just... The hardest thing around is to be simple and to be concise, because it's really easy to write a big, long song with 59 verses and 12 choruses, but cutting that down is difficult.
I found out that I didn't know. I came here to be a singer.
Really?
Yeah, I had like 3 songs that I'd written, mm-hmm. just for my own. I didn't even know songwriter. I didn't know anything about songwriters, but I wrote. When I wrote those 3 songs, I knew Floyd Tillman, and wrote "Seems We Always Have to Slip Around." Mm-hmm.
So you weren't looking at the credits on records and seeing what those little extra names were.
I didn't know much about it. I didn't know anything about publishing or anything like that. So when I moved up here, Doodle taught me a lot. Doodle Owens.
Right.
I learned.
Was he your first co-writer, or who? How did you learn to co-write then, in town?
Well, we just. I couldn't sit down with him when I first moved to town.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just because you weren't experienced enough, or why was that?
I didn't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learned a lot from Doodle. I mean, he just learned. I mean, we learned a lot, but just talking sometimes, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from Ray Baker. I mean, who signed me?
Right.
Knowing that I only had 3 or 4 songs, you know.
But got 2 of them cut instantly.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But he knew where 2 of them was going probably already when he heard them. Just me singing them, you know.
Yeah.
Because he had a demo session, and we had a great first demo session that Ray produced. And I had great pickers, you know.
Back then, how would you say, how many of your songs, percentage-wise, did you actually demo? Of the songs you wrote, how many actually got demoed and pitched?
I think we did. We might have did 6 songs
mm-hmm.
in 3 hours.
But I mean, of all the songs that you wrote, let's say you wrote, I don't know, 20 songs in a year or 50 in a year, how many of those would you demo? All of them?
I had never wrote 50 songs in a year.
Well, okay.
That's interesting. How many? What was your typical output?
I mean, I'm not a machine. I hate that stuff, man.
You do? Yeah.
You know, I mean, I haven't written a song in 2 or 3 years, probably.
Okay.
So
maybe a year. I forget if I have or not. I hadn't written much. Because I'm tired right now. I mean, sometimes you get to where you think you've written everything that you could think of, you know?
Right.
And then one day you're sitting on the bathroom. Sitting in the bathroom.
It's that magic room.
And something passes by.
That magic
room. The bathroom has been my escape all my life.
Uh-huh. I'm seeing a whole new line of songwriting technique coming up.
Right.
You know?
I forget all the songwriting books. Go sit in the bathroom.
Go sit in the toilet. Have some fiber.
Light a match.
And if you can't write, throw up. For a while, you know.
There you go.
Oh,
there
man.
You go. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's
There's
do that.
The best songwriting tip you're ever going to get from our show, ladies and gentlemen. Right here on the Music Row Show, we're here with Whitey Schaefer. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Eight lines.
We are here with Hall of Fame songwriter Whitey Schaefer, and that's a tune of his called That's the Way Love Goes. That was a hit for Merle Haggard, and we were just talking earlier that there's only 8 lines in that song.
My goodness.
And a tag, you know.
And a tag, of course.
I think it's a tag. Well, that's the way Johnny Rodriguez sang it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
It was like 159. That was the time on...
On Johnny's version,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, less than 2 minutes.
That's amazing.
And it says everything it needs to say, and plus we were out of beer.
Plus, you were out of it. That's really why you wrapped up that song that day.
We're tired of this thing, man. Let's move along.
Well, another one of your hits for George Strait was "Does Fort Worth Ever Cross Your Mind?"
Yeah.
Let's talk about writing that song and how that got to George.
Well, I was sitting at my piano at 3 a.m. one morning.
Wow.
And
early riser or late to bed?
Just late to bed.
Okay.
Or, you know, somewhere in between, somewhere in there. And I was playing the piano, and I had to... which song are we talking
Fort
about?
Fort Worth, Ever Cross Your Mind.
Yeah. Darlene came by. I said, I can't think of what... I had cold Fort Worth beer, just ain't no good for jealous and all that stuff. And she said... I said, I don't know what the tag would be. I mean, what's the title? You know, she said, "Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind?" And I said, "Way."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Hold it."
Now, who's Darlene?
My second ex-wife.
Okay. Fantastic. It's and she.
My first Darlene was. I mean, I was married to two Darlenes to start with.
Wow.
Not at the same time.
I got a I got a cousin named Darlene.
Were you married to her, too?
No. Wasn't married to his darling.
No, I was just wondering.
No.
Okay.
I'll introduce you.
I don't want to know any more Darlene.
You're done with Darlene.
Yeah.
There's a song.
Oh man. Done
so she Darlene. So she came up with the hook.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So she get a co-write?
No.
No.
Yes, she did.
Oh, yes, she did. Okay.
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah, I gave her half of it.
All right.
I mean, she earned half of it.
Okay.
I'm sorry I said that, Darlene.
Yeah, sorry, Darlene.
Well, okay, let's talk about co-writers. And you write a lot by yourself, or you did write a lot by yourself.
I try to, if I can. Not because I'm stingy, it's just that I like writing by myself. I mean, because when you write a song by yourself, you can say, I did this, man.
Right.
I did it.
And it's kind of hard to schedule co-writes at 3 in the morning, so...
In the bathroom.
Yeah. What? No, that's another thing. When you schedule something, I mean, co-writing is can be hard.
So you don't really like to do
the
appointment.
You got two personalities.
Yeah.
And I have to be kind of close friends before I can write with somebody most of the time, you know?
Gotcha.
Unless they got a hell of a deal.
Then all of a sudden, you're really good friends with them.
All of a sudden, let's get close here.
All right, let's take one last break. We're going to be back with one more great segment here with Whitey Schaefer. You're listening to The Music Row Show. We'll be right back.
To the Music Row Show. That, of course, is King George doing "Does Fort Worth Ever Cross Your Mind?" And that was co-written by our guest this hour, Hall of Fame songwriter Whitey Schaefer.
And Darlene.
And Darlene.
Darlene, too.
Darlene.
Don't leave Darlene now.
I wouldn't think of it.
Did not leave Darlene.
Well, we talked him into playing a song.
Can you believe it?
He's got a guitar lined up, and we had a request from one of our listeners for That's
Listener
the Way
Scott.
It Goes.
Yeah.
I've been throwing horseshoes over my left shoulder. I've spent most all my life searching for that four-leaf clover. Yet you run with me, chasing my rainbow. Honey, I love you too. And that's the way love goes. That's the way love goes, baby. That's the music God made for all the world to sing. It's never old, it only grows. Losing makes me sorry. You say, honey, now don't you worry. Honey, I love you too. That's the way love goes. Honey, I love you too. That's the way love goes.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Wow, that's
thank
awesome.
Thank you very much.
Whitey Schaefer.
Yeah, there
my
you go.
My goodness.
Listener Scott, that was just for you.
Wow. Well, Whitey, I heard you say once that you can lose a song in the demo session. What does that mean, and what have you done in the past to try to keep that from happening?
A lot of times too late.
How can you lose a song in a demo session?
By having bad arrangement or the song not being completely finished like you'd like to have it, you know. If you're sweating the song, you shouldn't demo it, you know. And I mean, I've lost a few, you know, yeah. But not enough. I mean, there's been times that I've gone back later and recorded the song again, you know.
Fixed it.
Okay. So you say that kind of happens then when you go into the studio and maybe some of the other folks take it in a direction that you maybe didn't anticipate,
yeah.
or kind of do something with it that wasn't what you intended, and so you lose
well,
the song that way?
Well, it's not really their fault. It's just that you don't know what, you know.
Yeah. So did that happen? Because you mentioned sometimes you write a song, you know, one day and it gets recorded the next day. Would that happen in a case like that? Would you haven't sat with it long enough before you went and demoed it, or why would that happen? You think?
Probably because
you were just saying earlier that there were many times where you wrote a song and then it got demoed right away, either that day or the next day.
Well,
and
no,
so,
I mean, you got to have five or six songs. Your publisher's not going to call a demo unless you're
gotcha.
Writing with a big publisher and they got a bunch of different artists that they're going to bring.
I see.
One guy's going to do a couple, another guy's going to do one song.
Sure.
I mean, I was always just, like with somebody that, you know, I wouldn't do a demo unless I had about four or five songs at least.
Gotcha.
You know?
Okay.
Or I could do them all on my. You know, have my pickers and you know, that I chose and stuff like that.
Hmm. I see. Mm-hmm.
You had a dry spell for a while. You said so in the early 80s, and you even went back to swinging a hammer and doing carpentry.
Well, I was going to truck driving school when the first time I heard "Just What Was Ever Crossed Your Mind" by George Strait.
Did you finish this?
No, it was "That's the Way Love Goes" by Merle.
Did okay. you finish the schooling, or did you go ahead and say, "I think we're done here"?
Yeah, we're done here. I was going to school in Murfreesboro. I mean, I was going to, you know, good truck driving school.
Yeah.
You know.
Was it a dry spell creatively, or you just couldn't get anything cut?
All of it.
Okay.
You know, together, and a lot of times, I mean, of course, I mean, these days I've got kind of old and long in the tooth, and seems like I've written a lot of everything, you know, that can be thought up, you know, by me. But it's not over, you know, until it lets you be over it. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can be walking down the street or something, and something will hit you, you know. Unfortunately, nothing hit me lately.
Have you ever, with as many great songs as you've written, have you ever come up with an idea and realized, I wrote this 30 years ago, or, you know, kind of realized that you were writing something that you'd already written?
No, I hadn't done that.
No, that's good.
I was trying to figure out what that meant.
Well, good. Well, I don't want to jinx you.
I don't know the answer to that question because I don't understand the question.
Okay.
Well, have you ever written a song? We've had other guests who've written many, many, many songs say that they'd hear a song on the radio and they kind of like that song, and then realize later on, oh, I wrote that song, and they had forgotten that they'd written that particular song. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Good.
I know the songs I wrote.
Good.
I mean, I've got a lot of songs that's never been recorded. I mean, a lot of them, you know, and there's a reason for that probably, you know. They're just not there yet or whatever.
Yeah.
Know. And maybe never will be. But,
Well, we should mention again the Countryist of the Country Awards, or not, the show that's coming up over here.
It's coming up during the CMA Fest, so everybody coming into town, go to the George Jones Museum Tuesday, June 9th. Doors open at 6 p.m. Show starts at 7. Boy, you got what a lineup. You know who's going to be in it is Little Emmy Sunshine.
Oh, really?
I love that.
We love her.
Girl.
That's awesome.
Mo Pitney. John Barry, he's been on the show. Yeah. Jeff Bates was just on. Tia Goins has just been on. Dallas Frazier, Whitey Schaefer, and Buddy Cannon. They're going to have be in the round.
Nice.
That's going to be a big time, a real big time. June 9th at the George Jones Museum.
That just opened, didn't it? That's
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
I have not had a chance to go down there yet.
What's getting back to the nuts and bolts of songwriting, What's some of the best advice you've ever been given, or that you kind of held to be true?
I don't know. There's so many things that I can say about advice, you know. Some of it you got to take, and some of it you got to leave laying there, wherever it is, you know. Best advice I ever had, you know, sometimes co-writing helps me a little bit, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've co-written hits with Dallas Frazier, Doodle Owens. I mean, me and Doodle wrote Old Moe's first song, started hating cheating songs today, you know.
Yeah.
And things like that are, you know, very satisfying. And I love songwriting, but it can be, I mean, songwriting's a hard business. It's hard to get songs cut.
Yeah.
I mean, it just really is. Some of my songs, I've been lucky they got cut. I mean, they would never have done anything if they hadn't been. I mean, if George Strait hadn't cut All My Exes Live in Texas, it might have still been laying on a shelf somewhere.
Right.
You know?
Hmm.
Just things like that. I've been kind of lucky at. You know?
Well, that's awesome. Well, glad you were, because they got some great songs out there, and there's a reason that you're in the Hall of Fame, two Halls of Fame. So that's
well,
awesome.
Lucky happens when you're good. You know,
there's
that. It has been a real honor and a pleasure to have you here. We've run out of time, but Whitey, thank you so much for being part of our program.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, man. Y'all been good to me, and
we've enjoyed it very much.
I appreciate you playing my music, and I'll be listening to the radio on the way home.
All right. Well, listen, everybody go check out themusicroastshow.com. You can hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Until we meet again, go write something.